Today's episode of the Can Be Now podcast is brought to you by Gustafson Insurance, business, home, and auto insurance made simple. For a free quote, call 503-266-2216.
This tax exemption eludes me like a gazelle eludes an arthritic cat.
Why can't Canby people keep track of their dogs? Like, what is...
To do that, you can't be stupid with guns.
Yeah. Set the board is saying they want to make Canby schools great again.
It feels like we've been doing this interview for years.
Inside of me was screaming.
You run for school board, you win or you die.
There's no second place.
Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
Clackamas County Health, Housing, and Human Services has received almost $2 million in grant funds to develop and support programs addressing youth homelessness, including rapid rehousing, permanent supportive housing, transitional housing, and host homes. The $1,776,632 grant is through the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD's, Youth Homelessness Demonstration Program. As one of only 23 recipients, Clackamas County plans to use this funding to support housing options for people under the age of 25 who are experiencing homelessness and connect young people with other services and systems of care. The housing crisis is a growing concern for Clackamas County, said Commissioner Martha Schrader. There are youth experience homelessness today and many more who may become homeless as rents increase. We are thrilled to have this opportunity from HUD to put systems in place that will reverse this trend. Over the next several months, the county will develop a community plan and local guidelines for how the funds will be used. Youth-focused community partners will be involved in that planning process. After the initial plans are developed, the county will invite organizations to apply for the grant funds. The initial $1.7 million is awarded for a two-year period, and grants will be awarded in a competitive process annually thereafter. Historically, it has been challenging to capture accurate data around youth experiencing homelessness for a variety of reasons, including reluctance to participate in government programs and data collection methods being targeted more toward adult populations. Unfortunately, the methods we use to count people experiencing homelessness are not necessarily youth-focused, so we can only estimate how many young people are lacking housing in the county, said Vahid Brown, Housing Policy Coordinator for Clackamas County. Taking into account data from homeless school liaisons, the Coordinated Housing Access Line, and other agencies, he estimated there are around 600 youth that are in need of homeless services in Clackamas County. And there is some reason to believe that number is much higher. Magda Marino, homeless liaison for the Canby School District, estimated that there are currently close to 300 students in need of stable housing in Canby alone. According to the 2019 point in time homeless count, the number of people experiencing homelessness in Clackamas County is increasing while the number of homeless youth is declining. While many factors affect the accuracy of the PIT count, the county says it is a starting point for a larger conversation about the need for services and housing. If you are experiencing a housing crisis or homelessness, please call Clackamas County's Coordinated Housing Access Line at 503-655-8575.
A 5-year-old died Saturday night after being struck by a vehicle on Monitor McKee Road Northeast in rural North Marion County south of Woodburn. The Marion County Sheriff's Office received a 911 call at approximately 9:21 p.m. Saturday. The boy had reportedly been struck by a vehicle while at a large gathering on a rural property in the 10600 block of Monitor McKee. When emergency responders arrived, they attempted to resuscitate the child, but tragically, he was pronounced as deceased at the scene. The involved driver remained on the scene and is cooperating with investigators. At this time, it does not appear as if alcohol was a contributing factor, detectives said. The MCSO was assisted by the Jervis Police Department, Oregon State Police, Kaiser Police Department, Hubbard Police Department, Mount Angel Fire District, and Woodburn Ambulance.
A
A Damascus man is in custody after allegedly shooting and killing his grown son during a confrontation Sunday night, according to the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office. Deputies were called to the East Mount Drive and Shady Lane area of Damascus just after 10 p.m. Sunday on a reported disturbance involving a gun. Oregon State Police troopers and Sandy Police also responded to the scene. When deputies arrived, they encountered several cooperative witnesses, including the suspect himself, William Paul Fuller, 69, a resident at the address. Deputies learned Fuller had fatally shot his son, Jason Fuller, 35 years old, in the chest during what police described only as a confrontation. Deputies detained William Paul Fuller without incident. A search warrant was served on the residents and several firearms were seized. Deputies attempted to perform first aid and CPR on the victim. American Medical Response and Clackamas Fire District No. 1 paramedics also responded, but Jason Fuller was pronounced dead at the scene. William Paul Fuller was arrested and transported to the Clackamas County Jail, where he was booked on charges of murder and unlawful use of a weapon. The investigation is ongoing. All staff and approximately 600 students were evacuated from North Marion High School Wednesday morning after a reported natural gas leak nearby on Grimm Road. The evacuation began shortly after 9 a.m. and lasted for about an hour. It was only a precaution because of the high school's proximity to the leak. There was no evidence that the gas had actually entered the school. The gas line rupture occurred just east of Boone's Ferry Road. Northwest Natural was on the scene shortly thereafter and called in additional gas company resources to work on containing the leak. By 10:07 a.m., the gas leak had been contained, and the units from both Hubbard and Aurora Fire, along with Northwest Natural Gas employees, had ensured the area was safe for North Marion students and staff to re-enter.
Well, as much as I refuse to admit it, can't believe it, they tell me that summer is almost over. And one sure sign of that is that this weekend is the last Canby Farmers Market. Joining us on the show once again to reflect on her first year as manager of the Canby Farmers Market is Alexis Purcell. Hi, Alexis.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you doing?
Good. I'm good, thanks.
Good. Welcome back onto the show.
Thank you.
So this year was your first year managing the Canby Farmers Market after several years at the helm of the Wilsonville Market. Is that right?
That is correct.
How did things go this year? What were kind of some of your thoughts? And maybe how does it differ from your experience in Wilsonville? Or does it differ?
Oh, it totally differs. Canby is a great little small town. I mean, we had a great first year, I think. We tried different things and whatnot. We definitely need some more community support is what we need.
Yeah.
So if we have more community support, we can definitely bring in more farmers and more vendors and make it even more phenomenal.
Yeah, and you mean just you need people to show up.
Yeah, we need traffic. We need foot traffic. We need to tell your neighbors.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think that is? Because, I mean, I was out there quite a few weekends, and it seemed like, you know, some weekends better than others. It definitely seemed like it was maybe stronger at the beginning of the year.
Definitely. Like, I think people get really excited for summer to start and markets and fun activities and stuff. And I think it kind of dwindles when people go on vacation and they kind of get into their summer routine and that stuff. But I mean, in order to keep it going, we need traffic and we need it really bad.
Sure.
So
do you think that Canby wants to keep the farmer's market?
I mean, I hope so. Yeah. I mean, people say they want it. They say they want it a lot and they like to come down and buy their fruits and vegetables and have a cup of coffee at Gwen's, of course. And, it's a good time. I think we just gotta get the word out there better.
Okay, so you think it's a matter of maybe publicity as far as...
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you had to move the location about halfway through your season. The hours are a little different this year.
We did. Yeah, they're a little bit different. So hopefully we have our fingers crossed for next year. We've got some things in the works and hopefully we can get the word out there some more and make it a go and see what happens.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and this last weekend would be a really good chance too for folks to, you know, show up and show your support for the Cambies Farmers Market if you do want this wonderful community event, both celebrating kind of some of our local vendors, but bringing people in from outside, which I think is really cool. If you want to see that continue, you need to come out and support it.
Definitely. Yeah, this week's our last week. So I hope people come on down and check it out. And then we've got our harvest market October 12th, which should be super fun. Everything fall and pumpkin, of course. And that's October 12th from 9 to 1.
Okay, cool. And that'll be at the same location there on 2nd Street that you've been for about the past 3 or 4 weeks now.
Yep.
How about some positives from this year?
Some positives. We love it. We love meeting everybody who's kind of behind the scenes and, you know, Cut Forth, of course, with their crews in and Junk Refunk. And, you know, you meet a lot of nice people. So it's great. Cambie's got definitely a close-knit community feel to it, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And have you enjoyed, I know there's been challenges, obviously, but have you enjoyed your time as manager this year?
I have. You know, it's been really fun. It's definitely a work in progress, and it tests my abilities sometimes, but it's great. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe Cambie is just a little bit of a different animal, is going to need a different approach, and that's what you're adjusting as you look at next year?
Definitely. I definitely, like, I see a lot of feedback from people, and they say they want more fruits and vegetables, and so trying to bring in the variety and have different types of vendors and food and stuff like that. But I mean, again, once that comes back to people coming and having more vendors and stuff like that, but we really want to make it great for everybody. You know, it's a fun thing to do on a Saturday morning with your kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Alexis. Thank you for all your hard work. I know, you know, we've kind of checked in either when I see you out at the market or different times we've had you on the show or seen you at Thriftway with your kids or what have you. Yeah. I know you've been working so hard this year, and we really appreciate it.
Well, thank
Cambie
you.
Can be a little tough with either new things or new directions, or I mean, probably like any small, you know, traditional town can be.
Definitely.
And that can be tough when you're kind of, I know you have volunteers and stuff, but you're a little bit of a lone operator. So we appreciate you rolling with the punches this year, and hopefully we have a great, you know, go out with a bang here this weekend and have a great harvest market as well, and a great start to 2020. It's going to be a big year for Cambie.
Yeah, I hope so.
The Cambie Now Podcast and Now Here the Studios would like to thank Ryan David Dwyer for composing the intro music for our new limited series podcast, The Other Side. Ryan is a local composer, songwriter, and budding music producer interested in a variety of contract jobs. He also loves to teach people how to play the piano without sheet music, so they can just start channeling and experiencing their inner creativity. Give his website a look at harpaziomusic.com. That's harpaziomusic.com.
Hey, Tyler, did you know that the world has changed in the past 20 years?
No way!
Yep, it's true. The way people shop for goods and services has completely changed since this thing called the internet started catching on.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And yet some realtors still offer the same old services in the same old ways and for the same old percentages. Victory Point Property Group in Cambie believes it's time the real estate business caught up with the times. They'll meet with you for free, explain every step of the process, give you a clear game plan, and even let you choose the listing commission.
Really? They let you choose their commission?
Really? Victory Point Property Group understands this is one of the biggest and most exciting decisions of your life, and they'll do everything they can to make sure you handle it like a rock star.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm going to check them out by calling 503-263-4700 or by visiting online at victorypointhomes.com.
You do that. Victory Point Property Group, real estate reimagined.
The Football Fan by Anonymous. For those of us with an obsessive need for action, drama, mayhem, and speed, there is no entertainment that I can recall that even comes close to the sport of football. All over the country, it's a weekly scene, bowls of chips, drinks, and a high-def flat screen. Surround sound speakers and the volume up high, your team takes a field and a tear fills your eye. The fans have a passion other fans can't approach,
with way more knowledge than the idiot coach, not you, Coach Joyce. More skill than the guy who just fumbled at the three, more sense and better eyes than that blind referee. For fans, season's end is a sad, gloomy day. It comes with a funk that just won't go away. Until September returns to get life back on track, all is right with the world. Football is back. Okay, my guest on the Camby Conversation today... Wait a minute. There must be some mistake. It says here in my notes that my guest today is Coach Jimmy Joyce, new head coach of the football team, but that we were going to talk again right before football season starts. There's no way summer's over.
It is over.
There's no way, Coach.
Unfortunately, it is over.
It's some mistake.
And for coaches around the state, it's been over for a long time. So we are in the thick of it right now.
Well, you guys have had a crazy busy summer.
Yes,
I know you've
have.
Been working pretty much all throughout, either different practices and stuff. You've done some kind of fun things with the Marines, with the dance team. Love to talk about that.
Yeah.
But just tell me overall kind of how you approach the summer and what you've seen out of the guys.
You know, one of the things that we did wanted to do this summer is we want to kind of set a new tempo for how we're going to do things here going forward.
Yeah.
You know, knowing what other teams around the state are doing this summer, you know, I'm coming from a program in Beaverton that was very active during the summer.
Yeah.
We knew we needed to, you know, keep up with the Joneses and catch up to the Joneses, really, in our case.
Sure.
Because, you know, if you want to compete at the highest level of high school football in the state of Oregon, you have to train at the highest level and you have to practice at the highest level. So we took advantage of this summer like I don't think any of these guys had had in a long time, if ever.
Yeah.
You know, through 4 day a week weights plus training. After every weight session, we're out throwing the ball, out there working on individual skills. And then seven on seven tournaments, seven on sevens with other teams, and then also utilizing Wednesday night practices. So these guys have really been together since the start of spring ball, or at the end of spring ball. I mean, we kind of took a week off for the 4th of July, and then we hit the ground running from there and went
literally.
Through a moratorium week, and now we're right here at the precipice of the season.
Yeah. Did you do a lot of work on the new turf, and what was that like?
The new turf has been amazing. You know, there was a slight chance we thought it could have happened that we could possibly have it for spring ball, but it just kind of, we were about a week away. And so we've been out here working on it, and it's been it's an amazing surface. The kids have really responded well to it. The first night playing on, obviously, it was really squishy because hadn't had any rain, hadn't even on it yet. But right now, it's looking fast, and kids are liking it. So,
how have the kids responded to you as a coach and kind of this, as you mentioned, a little bit of a newer approach? We're gonna hit the summer a little harder than maybe you're used to.
I really think they were hungry.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing that I got from pretty much everyone in Camby that I've encountered was, you know, they're excited for something new.
So much excitement. So,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
just insane.
Just something new, and they wanted something. And I think the kids, more than anyone, they were just wanting, you know, they see what's going on right around us here at the state, and they're like, you know, we want to experience that. And so, you know, we dove in head first, and they dove in with us, and they're really happy to be it. And they, I mean, everything that that was accomplished this summer is on what they did. Not coaches, we're here to supervise and obviously mentor, but it's the hard work that these young men have put in this summer that's really inspiring and it's why you coach.
Yeah. Is it fair to say maybe for the returning players, I mean, I don't want to dwell too much, but last year was a rough season, 0-9. Is there a little bit of a, like, you know, we've got something to prove, like we know that that's not us?
You know, and I think you're right. I think there's definitely something in there that they want to go out and show that, you know, we're better than that record.
Yeah.
But we really haven't focused too much on records. We haven't focused too much on the past. You know, obviously the good things that have happened in the past year. Obviously we've talked about the greatness that was Camby football for so many years.
Mm.
But the one thing that we want them to do is always have a short memory in this game.
Mm.
And that's something that I think every athlete needs to learn, is that this is a game of failure, just like life in many ways is a game of failure. You're going to learn from your mistakes. It's just how you respond to them and how well you can grow from them and how fast you can grow from them. And, you know, I've told them, I said, we have no goals for this season other than we need to be a better football team each day we come out here. And I can honestly say, from our first practice in June to where we are now, we are a much better football team.
Mm.
And we'll be a better football team tomorrow, and so on and so on. And wins come, wins or losses come, it, you know, doesn't matter. We're getting better and better, and we're taking those first steps to bringing this program back to where it should be. Yeah. And that's in the top, you know, one of the top tier programs in the state.
That's awesome. That's awesome to hear. So you've been a football coach for a long time. Mm-hmm. This is your first experience as a head football mm-hmm. coach and first experience in Canby. You've had experiences against Canby.
Yeah, against Canby, I have, yeah.
What has that been like? Was it kind of what you expected? Are there parts that have surprised you or challenged you?
It's, you know, it's been great. There's obviously challenges to it that no one, unless you've experienced it, can understand.
Yeah.
You might think you're prepared for some stuff that comes down the line, but you're not.
Yeah.
You know, I think the benefits that I've had is I have a very supporting wife who has been there since the start and is just, you know, is completely understanding to what this means when I decided to take this opportunity. And I can't, you know, you can't emphasize that enough, is how amazing she's been throughout this.
And then it's awesome. Shout her out, her name?
Yeah, Stephanie Joy. She's a beautiful third grade teacher in Beaverton. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephanie, for supporting our new head coach out here in Cami.
And my daughter, Peyton. I want to say that. And of course, our basset hound, Hoover.
Instagram star, Peyton.
She's a little bit of a ham. She knows how to play it up a little bit.
These generations.
She can't wait to get out here on Friday night. But it's also, it's these coaches too that have really been there to support. You know, I was fortunate enough to bring some coaches with me. Mikhail Powell, it was my wide receivers coach for many years. Out of Beaverton, having him here, he's also one of the better track coaches in the state of Oregon. James Pipkins is a guy that I'd actually hired on staff at Beaverton and was able to pry him away at the last minute.
Yeah.
And then one of the biggest benefits is having Fawson Riley with us, who was my head coach in high school.
Yeah, legend.
And legend in the state of Oregon, state champion.
Yeah.
And for him to come out of retirement to come back in here has been a huge help, because with those guys, sometimes as a head coach, I've learned that you kind of have to turn the football stuff over to other people while you have to deal with the politics and all the other stuff to go along with it. And then it's also the guys that have stayed on staff who've kind of been my ambassadors a little bit into Canby, or my Sherpas into Canby, I guess you could say. You know, they kind of, they're telling me where to go, who to see, you know.
This guy.
You know, simple as, you know, where to get a good dinner.
Right.
What, the wild hair is amazing.
Of course.
And the backstop, actually. But, you know, they've been absolutely phenomenal buying into the changes. Obviously, we're doing a lot of new stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you worry about, you know, are they going to buy into it? And they've dove in head first with us as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you did something kind of cool. I mean, you've just been a rock star on social media. You and whoever else is involved that are with you. But with the Canby football, ever since you came on board, I guess you took some tips from Peyton as far as that goes.
Yeah, I did. Well, yeah.
You did something kind of fun with the coaches when those were first getting announced. You kind of announced them one by one. Mm-hmm. You had a graphic designer that put together a little thing.
Shout out to P-Town Graphics, John Persich, great guy.
Those were pretty awesome. But I remember, because I'm not an Oregon football historian, but I remember when Coach Riley was announced, there was somebody who is that I know, and he heard that, his jaw just dropped. He's like, are you kidding me? That guy's a legend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was like our first introduction, is trying to create excitement for people. You know, obviously, we live in a different age right now where so much, we just had a great keynote speaker talk to us the other day here at the high school. And one of the things that I really enjoyed about him was he was talking about the new age and the new technology that's coming out, and and how all these kids out here now are so connected to so many more.
That feeds into the kids and their excitement. It really does. It's not just for the fans, although it is partially for the fans.
It is.
But it feeds on itself.
They want to feel like, something I always tell them is the big time is here right now. This is the biggest show in the town right now. And when we went through youth camp and everything, is like, so many times high school athletes are always looking for that next step. They want to get to college. They want to get the pros. They want to do this. They want to do that. The big time is here and now, because to those youth kids, you're Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, you're the legends of the game.
Right.
And, you know, I still remember the guys that when I was growing up watching high school football, I still see those guys walking around Safeway or something like that. And I see them and I'm like, oh, to my wife, I'm like, do you know who that is?
Right.
And she's like, no. And I'm like, well, just trust me. It's a big deal. And we want them to have that feeling too, is that, you know, we're a part of something that's bigger than just a football team. You know, we want to be that. We want them to feel excited and, you know, to show their friends, to say, hey, look, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one last question I want to ask you, kind of looking back a little bit, then we're going to look forward. But is there a moment or maybe a cool story from this past summer that really stands out to you as far as just something really encouraging or just, man, I feel like I'm really excited or anything like that?
There's one. I mean, there's so many that I could talk about. Yeah. But there was one, and it happened at our second Wednesday night practice. We were out there until like 9:30, and we have a group of guys that really bought into the weight room this year.
Was it around July-ish?
It was probably, I think, around like middle of July.
Okay.
And we had a good practice. We were happy the way things were going. And we got done, and I'm out here picking up. I turn the lights off, and I go upstairs, and there's a group of guys sitting up there waiting to get into the weight room.
Hmm.
And these are guys that had already been the morning weights.
Yeah.
And they just wanted to lift more as a team. And,
yeah.
and I just remember having to kick him out of here because I wanted to go home.
Right.
But and sitting there and in my car as I'm driving home, being like, you know what? I've never had that. That's pretty cool that we have kids that are – their biggest problem right now is they just wanted to be together and lift weights some more.
Yeah.
And that's a huge step in the right direction.
That's awesome. That is a cool story and really encouraging and illustrative of what's happening.
Yeah.
So we are out here at Cougar Stadium. I don't know if you can hear some of the shouts or whistles going on, but we're watching one of the last practices here. So tell us a little bit, give us a little preview of what you feel the team's going to kind of look like, some of the standout players you're excited about.
We have, you know, we look across this field. I mean, I think we've got, changing the offense is I think when people come to a game this year, the first thing they're going to notice, they haven't been to a game in a long time, is that there's definitely a marked difference in the offense.
Okay.
You know, we're kind of.
You're an offensive guy.
I am an offensive guy.
Yeah.
Offensive
coordinator, I mean.
Historically. Like,
I don't mean you offend people.
No, yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Well,
I mean, maybe
a little bit sometimes.
Well, ask Stephanie about that.
Yeah, exactly. But I think people are going to notice a very big difference in the offense. And what they're going to notice is that, you know, we're trying to utilize the weapons the best way we can. Offensively, my whole philosophy is that I'm not system-oriented.
Okay.
We want to put these young men in the best possible place to be successful.
So you kind of start with the talent and the tools that you have. You don't start with the system and kind of force it.
That's just how I've kind of grown up in football. I mean,
yeah.
With Coach Riley and stuff, watching him for so many years, coaching with him for so many years.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like squeezing a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah.
If it's not working, it's not going to work. We're going to try to find a solution that's going to work. Because these guys have four years. They have 4 years. We want to make sure those are the best 4 years of their high school experience. Well, it's their only 4 years of high school experience.
Right.
But we want to make sure that they have an opportunity to be successful. So there's going to be a marked difference. You know, we have some young talent. We're going to be a real young team this year.
Okay.
Just did the roster the other day, and I was just telling some of the coaches, I'm like, young. Like, the youngest team that I ever coached was in, I think, 2014 when we lost to Canby here in the state playoffs. And that team was made up of about five or six sophomores playing key roles, and we are probably going to be having 5 to 7, maybe even 9 at one point, sophomores on the field in key spots.
Wow.
So, but we have some great talent on the perimeter. I mean, there's some guys. Ronan Gay is one of our senior leaders, has really bought in. Jaden Brewer, another senior who really is a guy that's really kind of emerged as one of our better wide receivers. And these are guys that really haven't played wide receiver, because in the past, the wide receiver position has kind of been underutilized in the wing T.
We've been, from what I hear, a very run-heavy team.
Very run-heavy team.
In years past.
And we're still going to be predominantly, I think, a run-based team this year, but there's definitely going to create options on the perimeter that we can be more dynamic.
Okay.
And then you're looking at a guy like Brian Rayburn, who about the third day after I took the job contacted me and was like, hey, what can I do? And he's definitely going to be senior leader for us.
Yeah.
Go-getter. And then we have some guys, we have a bunch of juniors too that are just going to kind of, I think, surprise some people. Chance Miller is one of them. He's a three-sport athlete here who's just done an amazing job this summer. We've got another senior who's kind of making a little bit of a transition from wide receiver to running back, is Katie McMillan, who I think I'm expecting big things from. And then you got guys on the defensive side of the ball, Wyatt Ramos, Jackson Valdreau, and these guys that are going to be, I think, very tough to beat. And then up front too. I mean, we're going to be young again up front, but we have some guys that
on the line.
But you know, I tell people all the time, I see our line and I see what we can become, and that excites me. With obviously, we'll have Rayburn is going to factor in on defense, but we've got Sturgeon Anderson, who's a guy that's really impressed me. We're expecting big things out of him in his junior year. We're looking at some sophomores that are going to provide some depth, and then Cole Schaffner is going to go to center for us, and then one guy who's also a junior who's a returning starter up front is Peyton Martin. And I'm expecting huge things out of Peyton this year, because he's a quiet leader. He's one of those guys who just does anything you ask for, even if it's like, hey, you gotta go work a double shift at the fair in the parking lot, go ahead, and he just does it.
Nice.
So it also helps that his dad's on the coaching staff, and so he makes them.
That can maybe help some quietness sometimes. Like, oh, I can't say that. My dad's right there.
Yeah. So, yeah, and we're expecting a lot of big things, though.
Awesome.
And then at the, you know, the quarterback position, too, we've got four quarterbacks that have really kind of all taken reps.
Oh, cool.
Andrew Peters is probably going to be our guy going into our first game. But we got Zach Merkel and Mikey Gibson, who's a sophomore, probably one of the more dynamic athletes we have on this team, and so they'll all probably see some time.
Awesome, that's great. And with that young team, you know, it's cool because they're going to learn and grow as the season progresses. You don't kind of necessarily know what you have to start with, but you know it's going to get better as you go.
And that's that whole mindset of getting better each day. And I said, you know, it doesn't matter what our record is in November.
Yeah,
I know we're going to be a better football team than we were in August, and we'll be a better team than we'll be in September. We'll be a better team in October. We're gonna get better as the year goes.
Yeah.
And like I said, this is the first step, and hopefully many steps to come. So.
Cool. So opening game is tomorrow against Lincoln here at home. Any last thoughts? Anything you want to say to the community, or just
come on out? Come out and support these boys, because you know the work that they've put in. It needs to be celebrated. Mm. And a lot of these guys, we've had guys come out that weren't going to play. They just come out and said, "Hey, no, I want to play now," and stuff. And they've put in the work.
Right.
Come out and celebrate these boys. Celebrate the community. Celebrate, you know, this tradition that is high school football. So, hope to see you all there.
Awesome. Absolutely. We'll be there. Before we go, one last thing, man. I got to ask you. Give me one Go Cougars for the road.
Go Cougars, boys.
Go Cougars. Woo!
True story. When we first started the Can Be Now podcast, we were looking to buy some stickers. Just something to help us get our name out there. We didn't have a lot of money, so we tried to do everything as cheaply as possible online. We wound up with 1,000 of these teeny tiny cheap looking stickers. Not exactly the impressive swag we were hoping for, but you know, you get what you pay for.
Yes, you do. If we had been smart, we would have gone to see Carrie at Promotional Strategies. She's a real life human and a creative genius who will deliver practical, strategic ways to promote your business on any budget. If you're looking for high quality swag that you can be proud to see your logo on, Promotional Strategies is where you want to go. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby, or online at ps266swag.com.
I am not a golfer. I mean, I'm not a good golfer. So when I want to play a few rounds, I head over to Frontier Golf Course. They're a family-owned, family-friendly 9-hole course with beautiful scenery. And they let me rent clubs or bring my own. And they don't judge me for my slices and hacks. Or, you know, my language.
Frontier Golf Course is a great place to meet your buddies and have a drink, or bring your kids along. They're located on Holly Street, just north of town. If you hit the ferry, you've gone too far.
Also, please don't hit the ferry.
Yeah, please don't. But do ask them about Farley the Goat. They love that. Frontier prides itself on being the best value course you'll find in the area. If you haven't been by in a while, you've got to come check out what the new owners have done. Frontier Golf Course, it's a new frontier. Well, it's that time again. It's First Thursday tonight. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff happening throughout Canby, especially downtown Canby. And joining us on the line once again to tell us all about it is Calvin Lesser with the City of Canby and Kyle Lang with the Canby Area Chamber of Commerce. Hey, guys.
Hey, Frankie.
Hey, Frankie.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well.
Well, Kyle, I wanted to start with you because there's something new that the Chamber's involved in for this particular first Thursday. And tell us what you guys are up to.
Yeah, so the Canby Chamber has always been working with the city, trying to be a support for first Thursdays and bringing people into our downtown. But we've recently come up with the idea of throwing a quarterly event to better represent Chamber members at this downtown event. So this first Thursday is the first one. We're going to be up in the Antonia Ballroom above the backstop, and we're going to have a collection of local businesses, not-for-profits, as well as representatives from the high school putting together an event to let us know what's coming down the pipe at the high school during the school year.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's you know, we got all kinds of fun businesses and whatnot, as well as some food and beverage. Canby Bible College is coming along and bringing El Cholito tacos, Wayward sandwiches.
Ooh, new kids on the block, yeah.
They're going to be coming and sampling some of their smoked meats. Canby Center is coming and bringing snow cones. Wooden Shoe Vineyards is coming to do some wine tasting. Backstop's going to have a cash bar. You know, there's going to be a lot to eat, to drink, to experience.
That sounds great. I mean, I always feel you should kick the school year off with a little bit of wine, a little bit of an open bar, so.
Right. More for the parents than for the students.
Did I not say that? I totally meant for the parents.
Oh, yeah. Just to clarify.
Well, yeah, I'm particularly excited to try a Wayward sandwich,
yeah.
And obviously very excited about their new business opening downtown, so that'll be a highlight.
Yeah, that'll be great. And from what I hear, they'll be opening up here shortly, maybe within the next few weeks.
We're, I believe early October is kind of the timeline that we're shooting for.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Very cool. Yeah, so that'll be great. And that space up there, I don't know, it's kind of a, you know, one of Canby's best-kept secrets, the Antonia Ballroom. I've been up there a couple times. It's just unbelievably beautiful space up there above the backstop.
Yeah, we're really lucky that, you know, Ken and Lori Arigotti from the backstop were able to acquire the building and really kind of preserve that space for, you know, all kinds of events, from wedding receptions to business meetings and functions and the like.
Cool.
And there will be some other things going on downtown, Frankie. So hopefully people attend the chamber event and also mill about, because some of our retail businesses will be open late, including, and this is exciting because they're not often open as most of their businesses online, but Post Furnishings will actually be open on Thursday from noon until 8 p.m.
Nice.
So if it's, you know, tough to get in there sometimes because they are mostly online, it's just such a cool business, and amazing products, and they're well priced, and it's kind of that whole niche of refurbished antique and vintage stuff that is amazing part about living in Canby, and
everything old is new again,
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So check out Post Furnishings. The Friends of the Library at Canby Public Library. Ooh, that's a tough word for me.
Library.
They'll be having a flash sale from 4 to 8 p.m. on first Thursday. So again, that's on theme with our nonprofit night theme for September.
They'll be selling books.
Yes, and okay, cool. So 50-cent books, normally 50-cent books will be 4 for $1, just to give you an idea of the type of savings you can expect.
Can never have too many books.
Yes.
Yeah.
Says the English.
I put that to the test every day, man.
Right.
Every time I walk into the book nook, pretty much.
Yeah. Speaking of the book nook.
Oh, how about that seg?
Also, we'll be open for extended hours shopping, and you can get your favorite Canby Now podcast merch at the Book Nook, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I love those new t-shirts.
Yeah, people have been talking about them. We're excited about it.
Yeah. Actually, the Book Nook is also going to be displaying up at the Antonia Ballroom, so they're going to actually be working two separate events. They'll be up at the ballroom for those that are interested in the school and getting reading books for their students, and then as well in their regular retail space.
you know, a big part of First Thursday is Vanessa Zimmerman at Academy Mortgage. She's a huge volunteer with us in getting the word out and doing outreach and getting other businesses to participate. So
couldn't do it without her.
Yeah, really. Don't forget to stop by the Bell Building to visit Vanessa and get a taster of some FOB taproom beers and ciders. That's a really fun thing to stop by for folks looking to get refreshed on First Avenue.
There you go. There's always snacks and the prize wheel and different things going on. So there's more than just a alcoholic beverage there. There's something for the whole family.
Yeah, and just such a cool building to be inside of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say that. Another really great downtown building that's been fairly recently restored is my understanding, and it just looks great in there. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Retro Revival, open late, 10% off store wide. They've just been amazing, always participating in First Thursday or previously First Friday. Red Door Antiques, similarly 10% off store wide and open late. The American Legion is doing their Thursday night bingo.
Family friendly bingo. We cannot emphasize that enough. Legion is open to families and would love to have the little ones in.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, but basically it's a great time to come downtown, you know, check things out. Cuts Forest is always a good one to start at because they've got live music and their wine bar going.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, mill about, enjoy downtown. It's the end of summer, so enjoy our beautiful landscaping and flower baskets. I think a few of our flower baskets still have flowers.
Yeah.
So enjoy those.
Right.
Well, thanks a lot, Calvin. I was feeling excited until you reminded me that it's the end of summer. Now I'm sad.
Well, you know, you can get your enthusiasm back up by coming down to First Thursday and experiencing small town charm.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. Kyle, I don't remember if we mentioned, but can you hit us with the hours of the chamber add-on?
Yeah, so the chamber event will run from 5 to 8. From 5 to 7 is really the small business showcase, and then from 7 to 8, we will have presenters from the high school, including the new football coach, the new theater teacher, career and technical education, information about internships, and, you know, just different programs happening around the school, as well as representing our not-for-profits, Thelma's Place, Canby Adult Center, the Canby Center, Todos Juntos, and so we'll have a nice smattering of not-for-profits there as well.
And it's just upstairs from the backstop, so you'd probably be there anyways.
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, just so obviously First Thursday is all about celebrating some of the unique and special businesses we have here in Canby, but also adding into that some of our government partners like the school district, which is a huge part of Canby, and our nonprofits as well. Really awesome, guys. Thanks for putting all that together, and thanks for telling us about it.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks for getting the word out. Appreciate it, Frankie.
All right, well, yeah, we'll see you out there. Can Be Then is brought to you by Retro Revival. They are not your average antique shop. Open daily, find them on the corner of Northwest 3rd and Grant in downtown Canby. The boards of directors for the Canby School District and Canby Union High School in 1975 grappled with an extremely weighty matter, one that was a threat to, quote, school conduct, pursuit of studies, and general attitude of respect and loyalty to their school, teachers, and community. What was this insidious malice? Sex? No. Drugs? Worse. Rock and roll? Meh, close enough. It was long hair for the boys and extremely short skirts plus heavy makeup for the ladies. The high school took action banning such immodesty before the start of the 1965-66 school year, while Canby Superintendent Paul Ackerman and the Canby School Board took similar action in January 1966 after noticing similar behavior at the Canby Elementary School. These standards were relaxed a few years later, but only after a 17-year-old Canby Union High School student challenged them all the way to federal court. In 1970, the high school refused to allow David Schwartz to attend classes over his shoulder-length hair. They told him to go to a barbershop. Instead, he went to the ACLU.
His decision was less rash than it may seem and was actually suggested by Oregon Attorney General Lee Johnson, who gave the opinion that the district's policy violated students' constitutional rights, mainly the right to free expression guaranteed under the First Amendment, and was unlikely to hold up in court. Should the school district, in the present state of facts, persist in excluding Mr. Schwartz, he would probably succeed in obtaining a federal court injunction against the district, the Attorney General wrote. The AG's opinion on the case had been sought by Deputy State Superintendent Jesse Fasold, who wrote that the youth's hair had not created any disruption or health hazard, and that the boy had not been involved in any disciplinary problems. His parents, Mr. and Mrs. Frank Deas, have informed us that their son wears his hair this way because he believes it is attractive, and they fully back him up in his desire to wear long hair, Fasold wrote. The same could not be said of my own parents when I went through my stoner phase in high school, but I digress. The suit demanded that Schwartz be readmitted to Cambie Union High School and also asked for a cool $20,000 for the youth's troubles. I would have skipped out on my senior year of high school for a whole lot less than 20 grand, but hey, that's just me. Schwartz also claimed he had been on the receiving end of vague threats of reprisal from the district if he went forward with the lawsuit. Threats or not, the youth indeed did go forward with his claim, and 2 months after the start of the school year, he won his case via a ruling in federal district court in Portland. The judge declared that the case moot after the school district agreed to change their conduct code to allow deviations if a student brought a written statement of approval from his or her parents. As to damages, Judge Alfred T. Goodwin offered no opinion. Indeed, he was of the mind that the matter should have been brought to state court, not federal. Cultural conflict between the generations and between rural and urban societies has inflamed the passions of the partisans in this litigation, he wrote. But I have concluded that the rights and duties of those interested in the length of the hair of minor children do not present substantial federal questions. In 1968, a truly remarkable thing happened. A candidate for U.S. president realized that there were American voters living in the state of Oregon. U.S. Senator and Democratic frontrunner Robert F. Kennedy visited the state, and on April 19th, he stopped in the parking lot of Cambie Union High School for brief remarks on his way to Corvallis for a major address. Known for addressing crowds of minority and young voters in such unpretentious ways, he had delivered his now famous speech on the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. from the back of a flatbed pickup truck. He spoke for about 5 minutes to hundreds of high school students and other community members who surely thought they were hearing from a man who just might be their next president. Of course, it was not to be. Less than 2 months later, Bobby Kennedy would be dead after being shot 3 times on June 5th, the night he won the California primary. In 1971, Cambie Union High School students again felt the call to fight for their rights, though they were less successful this time. The virtue this time around? The right to pollute one's lungs with tar and nicotine. The school district's ban on cigarettes had never been a problem, but that was before a strange law was passed by the Oregon legislature, one that allowed minors of all ages to smoke cigarettes, but still required you to be at least 18 to buy them. When the high school refused to budge, an estimated 40 to 50 students held a protest sit-in before Christmas break, demanding that the non-smoking policy be repealed and that a smoking area be designated on campus. Not all students were in support of the sit-in, however, and the protesters eventually returned to school after even their fellow students voiced their opposition to their tactics. According to the Cambie Herald, the pro-smoking movement at Cambie High was 85% female and 80% underclassmen. Smoking is more of a problem with girls than with boys, and discipline problems with girls have multiplied 100-fold in recent years, the Herald recorded. We have one more slate of stories to tell you before we wrap up our long-running series on the history of the Cambie School District. That's next time on Cambie Then.
You know, Halloween will be here before you know it. Heck, the decorations are already in the stores, so I've got a scary good deal for you. DirectLink is offering 50% off their blazing fast internet speeds now through All Hallows Eve. Not only will you get a sweet candy corn of a deal, but every one of their broadband connections comes with unlimited data, free, and that's no trick. So switch to DirectLink to stream and surf as much as you like.
Plus, take advantage of free Wi-Fi home networking for 6 months with free installation of commercial-grade Wi-Fi equipment that ensures your entire home has the strongest, most consistent signal in every room. Talk about a treat. Call 503-266-8111 or visit directlink.coop for blazing fast internet.
So I'm here with Derek Hill, president of Advantage Mortgage in Canby. I was wondering what's going on in the mortgage industry right now.
The mortgage industry is on fire right now. The big thing that's really exciting for us is that we are now an independent mortgage broker, which means that we can offer substantially lower rates and lower fees for our customers. For example, we just got a loan last week, and the realtor said, hey, I think you should go talk to Derek at Advantage Mortgage. And sure enough, we got the borrower 3/4 better rate, and we saved him 14 grand in fees.
Cool. So where can people find you?
So office number is 503-266-5800, or they can find us on the web at findtheadvantage.com. But most people just give us a holler, or they stop in.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Derek.
You bet. Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 1770599, Derek Hills, NMLS number 50183, Equal Housing Opportunity.
And that's our show. Special thanks to all of our guests today, Coach Jimmy Joyce, Alexis Purcell, Calvin Lasore, and Kevin Lang. And to all of our sponsors who really make it possible to do what we do, we encourage you to check them out and help support the local small businesses who support us. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes.
Well, Tyler, somebody screwed up. Because next episode marks our 100th episode. That's right, 100 episodes of the Camby Now podcast, and still, nobody stopped us. We don't know who's about to lose their jobs over this. We expect it'll probably be a bloodbath. But we do know we'll be marking the occasion by looking back over some of our favorite guests and moments of the past year. Join us next time on a very special episode of the Camby Now podcast.
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions of how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Camby Now, or to learn how you can start supporting our show and gain access to exclusive content through Patreon, visit us at CambyNowPod.com/plus.